Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Guide us, O Lord, by thy most gracious favor, that in your light we may see the light. In your truth, we may find freedom, and by your will, we may discover peace. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We go through life with expectations. As a matter of fact, life is nothing but expectations, and there's nothing wrong with that. We expect that when we turn on the light switch, that the lights will come on. We expect that when we dial a number on our phones, that the call will go through. Now, the extreme reach of this, we expect that when we go to sleep at night, that we'll wake up in the morning in our right minds with the full use of our extremities. But on the flip side of expectations are those other things that are called disappointments. We expect our phones or our lights to be on, but the companies themselves have expectations also, because they expect us to pay our bills in order for them to provide us with the services. We expect our friends and family members to go to sleep at night, but sometimes they don't wake up the next morning. We expect God to be fair in all things that he does for us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Unfortunately, as the parable that I just read to you in the gospel lesson today shows us, God is not always fair, but he's just. In today's gospel lesson, we see a vineyard owner make an agreement with some day laborers for them to work for a penny a day. Now, we can't equal it out now, but obviously if they're willing to work for a penny, either they're starving, which I doubt, or a penny is a fair day's wage. The workers were looking for work. The landowner had a job for them and he was hiring, so they agreed on a price and they kept it moving. So the first group of workers started to work at about 6 o'clock in the morning. Then the owner saw that he needed some more workers. And he went outside and he hired some more at 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and in the 11th hour, which is 5 p.m. And we can only assume that he had a big enough area that he didn't guess how much people he would need. So he was hiring throughout the day. In verse 8, we're told that the evening came and that the owner told his steward to pay the workers the money that he had owed them. But what was funny about the situation is that he had told the steward to pay the last man first and the first man last. Seems strange, but the workers that were hired first saw that the last group that were hired were getting paid a penny. Now we step into that mystical land of expectations where our imaginations run wild. The first workers hired thought that since the last workers were receiving a penny, that they would be getting more, maybe a bonus because they were out there in the heat working all those long hours. But lo and behold, it was time finally for that first group of workers to get paid. And I can only imagine that their mouths were just drooling, thinking about how they were going to get 10 times the amount for the long amount of time that they were working. And then that balloon burst. And their jaws dropped to the ground when they saw that they were only getting that penny, what they had agreed upon from the very beginning. There would be no bonus for this work because they had agreed upon that penny. So what did they get? They got a penny. You know, I feel for them, but unfortunately that's the problem when you make an agreement with somebody. It's all fine and dandy to enter into one because you're protected. You're guaranteed what you're supposed to get. But sometimes it just doesn't work out. And in the case of these first workers, it didn't work out for them. The group of workers went to the owner and they complained about how it was unfair that they got paid the same amount as the people who got paid or who only came and worked for an hour. Now, like I said, I feel for them. But they signed an agreement, theoretically. So they got paid what the owner agreed to pay them. And he wasn't going to go against it. In verses 13 to 15, the owner basically said to them, or one specific guy in the group, who I assume was the ringleader, he said, "Friend, didn't we agree on this amount of money? Take what you're owed and get going. It's my money. I can do with it what I want. So why are you jealous when I'm trying to do right by everybody else?" So you see, what Jesus was telling us in the parable is that the workers are Christian. And the vineyard is the kingdom of the God's faithful and all of the blessings that God has for all of us. It doesn't matter when we start to believe in God and have that necessary faith. It's that faith that is required of us as believers. And it puts us on level ground. And it makes us all equal in the eyes of God. You see, there's some Christians that have been devout. Let me phrase that. Devout. Their whole life. They have some mysterious belief that they are more worthy than those who have recently came to the light. What those holier-than-thou people fail to realize is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. All of our sins, with a focus on our, not only mine, but ours. If we want fairness and we believe that we should get what we deserve, which I think is a very wrong thing to want to do, then we would all be destined to be burning in hell because we have done nothing to deserve any better. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we have all what? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory, that much blessed glory of God. Like the owner, God is free to do with his blessings whatever he wants to do with them. We don't have the right, and we know we don't have the power to make him do what we want him to do. See, another thing that I want you all to know is that there isn't a certain amount of grace. There isn't a certain amount of blessing that God has to offer, and then his bucket runs out and it's over. God has more than enough blessings for each and every one of us, and then some. Our goal in life shouldn't be standing around wondering where we stand in line for God's blessing and if we'll be getting more than we actually deserve, because we won't. We're told in the Prayer of Humble Access, which we'll be saying in a little while, we are not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs under your table. But thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have what? To have mercy. We're a group of people, us Christians, who are undeserving, who have not earned and are not worthy of God's blessing. But him, in his infinite wisdom, love, and compassion, sent his son down to us in order to die for our sins, so that that separation we once had can be reconciled, so we can be back together in the loving fold. Amen? The very nature of God is what? It's love. And sometimes it's what we would call a tough love. It may not be a fair love, but it's a just love. It's a love that is based on faith and belief. As John 3:16 tells us, that if we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, then we'll be what? We'll be saved. Deuteronomy 4:29 tells us that God has never rejected anyone who believes in him or has turned away anyone who has actually went looking for him. Although God may have chosen us as his people, it falls on us to reach for him also and to do what is necessary to complete the journey. And that is to what? Believe in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. We need to spread the good news that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And although we're not worthy, we have to take that first step, believe in him and the mission that he has laid out for us, and be there to help others in their spiritual battles in this thing that's called life. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.